Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Kavanaugh.
And I'm Will Alexander.
And you're looking splendid in your Hartford Whalers jersey. I'm loving it, Will. And it works because we're going to be talking about some anachronisms and some throwbacks today and how that works into our sport. That best of winners, why is it in front of best of opposite? All of that and more right here on the Dog Show Drive.
That's the way it's always been on the Dog Show Drive.
Young William, I can't stop laughing because if we ever recorded the part before we hit record, it'd be popular with lawyers especially. How you doing, bud?
I'm good. I'm really good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. That was some good stuff, though, huh?
It was, and that's it. But look at all the notes we made during that hour that we're supposed to be recording.
Yeah. We, ladies and gentlemen, we pretty much just catch up on our week and talk about stuff we can't talk about on the air for a good hour before we hit record. So sorry about that. Anyway, one of these days when we both are pushing up daisies, Will, we can release those tapes, I guess. Maybe not.
Unless Doc holds us, you know, he tries to blackmail us.
This is an interesting time of year. This is typically the garden. This is typically Westminster in New York City. And there's been lots of posts on social media about people missing New York City in February at Madison Square Garden. I get that. And lots of pictures, good memories, you know. There's one picture today, the Hotel Pennsylvania, that's now dust. I think I gave the history of that last week for all those who are dying to find out. You can go back and look. But yeah, there's great memories and fun.
All the best of times. You think about it because you think about all the hassles that go along with it too. You go think about, you know, trying to navigate the ramp and getting your setup in there and the traffic and the cost and the hotels. But once you have done it and you think you're master of your own domain at that point, it becomes magical. And you'll love it when some newbie asks you, well, what do you do now? Well, you grab all your stuff and you run over there.
I don't know. Dogs on forklifts going up the, the ramp. There's certainly some, we can't even really, we don't even have the right to comment because we don't know all of the difficulties. It's not like, for those who demand to be back to the garden today, pick up the phone, call the garden, say, hey, we'd like to have February, whatever, forever. Yeah. See how that goes.
Are you guys busy on these two dates? Yeah. Can I possibly?
I was just wondering if you could just squeeze me in. It's not like that. Everybody in the world is trying to get to Madison Square Garden. And, sometimes you don't want to, a place doesn't want to book you for 50 years. What if Bruce comes to town? They can make more money. Anyway, they are fond memories and there were some difficulties. And it's always 2020. It's now you're romanticized about parking that box truck somewhere and hoping it doesn't get stolen and spending $27 for a glass of Coke or
walking down the street in the middle of the morning trying to find your truck because you got to get something out of it and you're always checking around you to make sure no one's watching.
And forgetting where it is. And it's crowded. Come on, it was so crowded you couldn't move. I remember bringing international people to the garden. They were like, oh my gosh, this has got to, how do the fire marshals allow a building where you have to shuffle touching people to walk anywhere? You know, we forget all those parts. But there's certainly something romantic and wonderful about being in the center of that ring.
Oh, just being in the holding area, waiting to go into that big ring. You know, we're all out there, our assistants are there, we're getting ready, and the camera's zooming in on the dog's close up. And if you have a dog that's a little iffy, but you're trying to stay away from the camera.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that.
Great stuff. Anyway, all I know is that Westminster knows a whole lot more than any of us can even dream of. And they know how difficult it is and where to put things and where not to. So,
you can't deny how good they are, their expertise, but you can still, you know,
romanticize.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I'd love to live back in old London. It must have been a beautiful place back in the in 1700s where there was no toilets and there was rats everywhere. Yeah, that'd be great. Let's do that again. You have to.
So charming, lighting the lampposts, you know?
Yes, wouldn't that be fun? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where the, well, anyway, let's not wax too poetically. I'm getting a little, I'll have a sip of water. You can't see that. It really is water. Hello, may I have a spot of tea, young William? Will and I carry the same tea bags. I know you're all interested in this, but if you're wondering why we are such incredibly successful, it's because we carry red rose tea bags. You go to a restaurant and they whip out a Lipton. You're like, get that out of here. What are you doing with the Lipton? No. Got to have the red rose.
Brought to you by Red Rose Tea.
Red Rose Tea, our new sponsor. Anyway, it is that time of year, and it's exciting. And by the way, if you've ever been in New York City in a blizzard in February, that's a lot of fun, too. Let's try that again. Oh, it was so pretty. The snow is so white. No. Not so much fun.
And now you're making me regret all my thoughts.
Well, 2020 is interesting vision. Interesting vision. I'm going to a show next weekend. Or a week from this weekend, that is really an interesting study in dog shows.
Mm-hmm.
The Maryland Kennel Club, which is historic and wonderful and highly respected, those are the shows. It's a Saturday and a Sunday. How about that? Not 5 days, not 4 days, a Saturday and a Sunday. Now, these grounds in West Friendship, Maryland, it's a lovely area. It's you typically think of a fairgrounds as being in a not so pretty area. These are in the country. They're beautiful. The drive-in's beautiful. But there are lots of shows there during the year. I don't know how many. I'd say at least 8 weekends, maybe more or less. But it seems like there are quite a few, like West Springfield in Massachusetts. There's quite a few shows in West Friendship. So why does the Maryland Kennel Club draw 1,800, 1,900, 2,000 dogs every year? And the other very good clubs, very good shows doing fours and fives draw way less than that, 1,100 maybe 900. Is it because it's only 2 days and that makes it special? Is it because Maryland Kennel Club knows how to do it right and people respect it? I'm not saying the other clubs do it wrong. They get good entries, but this is extraordinary. For a 2 day to draw way more each day.
Almost double.
I think one of the things, now this is a tough thing to say without wearing a modesty shirt, but modest Midwest dog person. I'm wearing that shirt now, folks, because I'm on the panel. But boy, it's a good panel. Take me out of it. It's still good. Maybe a better panel. But maybe that's it. You know, maybe you get a good panel with, you know, Bonnie Threlfall and Eddie Zook. And there's so many good judges on that panel that I think people respect that and come for you. They pack up the van, they enter, and they make the journey and they go. And locally, I mean, I've got 9 pointer specials. 9 pointer specials. Where'd you see that last?
Yeah.
10 Legotos. That's a lot. In all the entries, that's not just me. There's a couple people that overdrew. I only have the first day, I'm only doing 5 breeds and I've got 90. And that's not retrievers. I'm not doing those. Usually if you get retrievers, you're going to pack it up higher. And I have, I don't know, 120 or something the next day with only 7 breeds. So they don't spread you too thin, and they get high quality judges. And our friend Eddie Zook is judging his first sporting group. That'll be fun to watch. But it's interesting, isn't it, that a 2-day outdraw 5-day.
Like, do they, maybe people think, well, they can afford to go for the 2 days. And so maybe that's in the back of their head that it's rather than going for 4 days, oh, we can do the 2 days. Let's go. Let's all go, you know.
Maybe. There's something special about the history of the club, too, and the people that run it. Fred Askins and Sherry, they're just Turner. I think they had to get it right and do it. Mm-hmm. It is fascinating because you would think, you would think that handlers wouldn't choose to go there because it's only 2 days and they can go to a 4-day and make more money. That evidently isn't the case. Now, the other shows may have a tougher scheduling conflict. Maybe this is just a good date where there's nothing else around it. I don't know that. I haven't really checked it out.
Timing is everything.
But I can tell you the other shows I've been to there that are smaller entries, they're excellent shows, and they draw really good dogs, just not that many of them. I almost want to think, thinking romantically 2020 backwards vision, Will, I like to think that a 2-day weekend with a good panel is still a really good idea that can work.
Yeah.
You don't need 7 shows jammed
together. And it could be that kennel club is on everybody's calendar too. It could be one of their favorite kennel. I have those shows.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. It always has been an historic event. And this isn't like, you know, held at Taj Mahal. It's in barns at a fairgrounds. It's nice, but it's not super fancy or anything. But it's just the history and the quality that brings people to a show. And I'd like to think they're not an anomaly. And I'd like to think that if there are other shows that just did 2 days and really packed it with good judges and had the right date and the right location, maybe they could do the same. I don't know. Because if you're thinking about making money and you do a 4-day or a 5-day thing, I can make the most money that way. Well, you got to rent the fairgrounds for 4 or 5 days.
That's right.
And you have to hire far more judges or judges
and more staff. You're not all volunteers, and you have to hire some staff.
You know? Absolutely. Just the fairground staff itself and everything else. I wonder, when I worked for the Forsythes, we, 50 dogs wasn't an unusual day for us. And we had the big bluebird. Ted Young had a Chevy van. And we had a lot of help. He didn't need much. And I'll bet we made the same amount of money as each other because of the scale of efficiencies. Now, Teddy had that van packed with cockers, which are smaller and you can get more in there. But he probably had fewer expenses. So that's sort of a similar thing, maybe it's just if you do it, jam it together in 2 days and do it right, that would be Ted Young's van as opposed to the Bluebird. I don't know. I like them both. Don't get me wrong. I love a good circuit. I love a good cluster. But it is interesting that manifests itself in the middle of this 2 billion dog show run we have now.
Yeah. I have to tell you, though, as a handler, when I was showing dogs, 4-day event was always good on paper, but come Saturday, you're thinking it's time to go home. Mm-hmm. You've been there for 3 days already. Your mind is like, oh, time to go home.
7-day, Will.
Oh, unless it's the Tar Heel, where it becomes an event itself, and you make a community, and it's But yeah, Tar Heel was something.
It can be. I mean, it used to be we had the Tar Heel on the Florida circuit, and that was pretty much it on the East Coast. And then the Fly circuit up in New England. But we didn't have one every weekend, and now we have one.
Every weekend. Yeah. People don't have any home life sometimes. It's just crazy. We used to have in the summer in Canada, it's not as bad anymore, but our July was 28 shows in 31 days. And that was crazy. And you know, you made your bacon, you made your money that circuit, that trip, that month, and your dogs, if you did well, you had a chance to win every day back then. But I'll tell you, as I got older, like when I was younger, oh, I couldn't wait to go. But as I got older, I started dreading going on the summer circuit, just dreading it. It was so hard on the dogs, so hard on the people, so hard on everything.
And how many fast food dinners can you squeeze in 5 days? You eat junk and you don't sleep well and all that stuff. Anyway, well, tip of the hat to you, Maryland Kennel Club, for doing it right.
Yes, congratulations.
I want to talk about non sequitur, but something that's been in my notes for a while and we never get to it. When you place a class 1, 2, 3, 4, it's very clear, and you have to go to the ribbon, to the markers to get to ribbons. It's very clear that the first dog beat the second dog beat the third dog, and so on. The fourth dog beat the rest of the class. Well, that's all good, but what if, can someone explain to me why best of winners gets to stand in front of best of opposite sex? I don't get it. When you're pulling out your winners, you pull out best of breed, then in America, not in Canada, best of breed, best of winners, and best of opposite, implying that the best of winners dog has beaten the best of opposite bitch. He's not, or she's not.
Well, there are some cases where it has, but
if not, it's not automatically.
Yeah, but and I don't know. I don't know the answer, because up here in Canada, we're best of breed, best of sex, best of winners.
It makes so much sense. It makes so much sense. And if you're, you know, if your best of winners is going to go best of opposite, well, then it stands behind the best of breed winner, where it should be logically.
But sometimes the best of winners has beaten the class bitch for best of winners, and then the class bitch beats the specials and goes best off six. So There are cases where the best winners has beaten it, but common sense tells you best of breed, best off six, best of winners.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt, right? There's no doubt in my mind. I just think it's ridiculous. But, you know, it's an anachronism.
What are you doing?
I'm losing power, Will.
I'm looking at a blank screen. Wayne keeps going under his desk like he's George Costanza looking for a pastrami sandwich.
He's the top of my head. I've got this important topic I'm trying to plead, and my it says low battery, and they're going to cut me off, but I've got it plugged in, so I can't remember the problem.
All I can think of George when he worked for the Yankees, building a little sleep area under his desk.
Yeah, you think we had a show about nothing? What do you? You go back and watch George Costanza. Hang on. Let's see if this plugs any better. I'm gonna move everything. The things we go through, young William.
Oh, technology. You know, we got to keep it going.
You know what? My computer's not going to charge. We'll have to. This is going to be interesting.
How much power do you have left?
None. It says your Mac will sleep soon unless plugged into a power outlet.
Oh, geez.
There was spillage last night, and I wonder if I got in the power port because it's not charging.
Yeah. Like, I'll be fine. If you're gone, I'll be fine. I'll handle it. I'll just say goodbye.
Man, you might have to.
I'll handle it, Wayne. I'll handle it.
Jeez, you got it, George. Go, George. Anyway, really, when you think about it, I don't understand it. It's an anachronism that's been around for too long, and the rules are sclerotic. And you know what anachronism sclerotic means, right? Well, they're not willing to bend. They're too rigid, and no one wants to even think back on it because that's the way we always did it. Well,
just the way it is.
Done it wrong, you know? So, yeah, I just never understood why a dog that has not defeated the other dog gets to win. It's it bothers me, Will, is what it does. It concerns me. What really concerns me is this red bar. I don't know what we're gonna do, bud.
Well, we'll just keep going and
it's gonna shut off any second. Anyway, the 29-minute show. I saw a great webinar.
Mm-hmm.
Brocco Italiano.
Oh, I need to watch that. Yes.
I've seen many a webinar. If they're available, I take them, even if it's a breed that I'm not considering applying for. And they can be really average. And this one's not. It's really good. It's available on YouTube, I believe. If anybody's interested in learning about this new breed, this woman that presents it, it's outstanding. It really is outstanding. Even if you have no interest in Brocco, you should watch it because you'll learn about stuff, about how their angles affect their movement, which is so unusual for any other breed and so different. So,
well, yeah. I definitely have to watch it because I told you I judged on the weekend. And for me to take my sporting group to America, there's a few breeds I need to study before I go down there. And Brocco is one of them and take the test. So
yeah,
I'm going to watch that YouTube as soon as I can.
Anyway, talking about best of winners and best of breed and best of all, it's a little thing, right? But here's the thing. I would love in big entries to start doing my awards in reverse for suspense. Mm-hmm. So you'd bring out your, if you have award of merits, you'd go from backwards, right? You'd have your fourth award of merit, your third, your second, your first, you're building suspense. And then you have your select dog and your select bitch, and then your best winners. Because he's not going to go best of breed. We've already determined that. It's going to be between these two for the breed, between the male and the female for best of breed. So you've got the dog and the bitch out there, and everyone's now like, which one is going to be, the dog or the bitch? And you, as soon as you bring the best of opposite winner out, you know who it's going to be, which builds excitement. Right. But when you have the best of winners in the middle there, it just messes up the whole rhythm of the thing.
Yeah. I ring sorted for Edna Gonzalez this weekend because I judged the first stand, and I hadn't seen Edna for a while, so I said I would stay and steward for her. And she does that. She builds suspense. And I don't know how. She never got it wrong. If I did it constantly, I'd be afraid I would mess up. She never got it wrong.
Is that how she did it, backwards?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And you can do it in Canada and Mexico because they're in the right order.
Well, and like it's amazing because the first time she did, people were going, oh my God, what the hell is she doing? And all of a sudden you see what she's doing. And it all made sense.
I love it. I love it. I mean, I guess there's a theory that, you know, the best of winners hasn't lost to the best of opposite if it's not the same gender yet.
Right.
But it still doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. I mean, when every other country does it the other way, who are we?
Well, common sense tells you, in my world, you know, best of breed, best of sex, best winners.
Yeah. But what do we know, Will? We can't even get our computer, or I can't even get my computer to charge. I believe it was some liquid debris that entered the port of the charging.
Liquid debris.
That caused it. I think it was from the balloon. I'm not certain. Anyway.
Is that becoming an aneurysm too?
It's anachronistic. So it'd be an anachronism. You'll get this. It's sclerotic. Just remember that. It's original.
All right.
Anyway,
Google it.
That's right. I'm sorry. I read too much. Anyway. We talked about Amanda's webinar, which was brilliant. The Brocco webinar and best of opposite and best of winners and all that good stuff. But I also wanted to mention, we got two separate emails or messages about oral exams. And I found it interesting because when I first looked at it, I thought, what's the complaint?
Yeah.
And then I thought about it and yeah, it's like best of opposite and best of winners. When you stop and think about it, you go, I wonder why. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, when you're judging, you get a chart. It's called the oral chart, and it tells you, it has a list of every single breed, and it'll say front, sides, or mouth, the whole mouth. So you have to look, fortunately, superintendents have now put it right there next to the breed name. In your judge's book, you used to have to guess. You used to have to go back and figure it out. But now it says in the judge's book, if you're judging, say, Chesapeakes, it'll say ground, G for ground, because you have to also wonder if it's a ramp, table, or ground breed. So you see G for ground, and you'll see F for front only, front teeth only. And I mentioned Chesapeakes on purpose because the other retrievers are front and side.
So, and they all do the same job primarily as far as getting a large waterfowl in their mouth, right? So it is interesting that there's disconnects there, or differences, I should say. I'm guessing the breed club calls that, right?
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, but so do you really... Well, for example, on Broncos, I don't know if there's another sporting breed that I can think of where you really should look open the whole mouth, because you have to look for black pigment in the mucous membrane. Mm-hmm. So that's different. There's a reason for opening its mouth there. And some people would say sides are important because if they have missing teeth, right? You're not going to tell by just checking the front. I don't know. I don't know how it's created. I don't know why. I'm just really glad there's a chart, because I'm not going to remember 200 combinations of ground, floor, table, front, side, and whole mouth. I'm not, you know, it's, but yeah, I think both of the messages were saying, hey, we, you know, why shouldn't all the teeth always be examined? And Irish Wolfhounds, you don't have to open their bite if you don't really want to, I guess, because in the Irish Wolfhound standard, bite is not mentioned at all. So
well, it's interesting. Like, I'm just going through, it was actually one of the messages was from Joy Huntley, who is an avid listener and a good friend. And she was talking about, I'm trying to find the phrase she used. It was something about when the standards were written that the stockmen knew that there were some things that were going to happen with every breed, and one being that they all have full dentition. Right. So it's one of those things, I guess. Where here it is: four, two eyes, four legs, full dentition. You know, they all assume that they have those things, but. It does make you quandary about certain things, doesn't it?
I never thought of it before, but with wolfhounds, I'm always thinking that yes, the people who created this breed, its founders, just assumed it's got to have teeth. Right. They've got to be able to take down a wolf. So, do you check? I do, but you don't have to. It does say, I think, in Wolfhounds, it does say F for front, which doesn't tell you if it has full dentition or not. But do you really want to go in the mouth of every single breed? What for?
Well, we tend not to anymore. We tend to ask the handler to do it. But like Joy brought up this part about, you look at the function of Nordic breeds, they ate frozen fish. Are they going to chew with just their front teeth? Would make sense, right?
I can tell you a beagle would chew with one tooth.
Yeah.
It would not miss a meal.
Chew, Wayne.
They would gum it. No, they just inhale food. There's no teeth. Beagles don't need teeth anymore. They just inhale their food.
And they take that as a standard because they just inhale it.
And maybe that's sort of... Now, the other thing I thought of is I wonder if... Each breed club originally, or whenever they put the bite in, said, hey, Labradors, we're having trouble with some missing teeth. So in our standard, we want you to check for that. Or in other breeds, maybe they're saying, well, in our breed, it's not really a problem. We don't have a lot of missing teeth. We do want to see if they're overshot or undershot by right. checking the front. Maybe that's it. I don't know, but it's accepted that the breed club sets it, I guess, or the AKC would just say, pick one. The other thing is I let the handlers do it now too. I don't want to be touching every dog's mouth and then transferring to the next dog's mouth or to me. But, and that never was the way. I never did it that way. The other thing I do now is when I'm examining a dog and depending on the look I'm getting when I go up to it, or whether it's real excited or young or scared or timid, I'll go over the whole dog and then go back and check the bite.
Yeah, that's what we tend to do up here all the time now. It's funny about the handlers showing the mouths now, because you get some pretty clever handlers, and they show you something real, so quick or so covered that you'd 9 out of 10 people will go, oh, all right. but they're clever. Be prepared for that. I hate telling on them because I was one of them.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'll often say, let's try that again. I did say to one hitter who I knew, don't let me do it. Don't make me do it because I'll do it and show the whole world.
Oh, I've never shown it Chuck Herndon. All right, nice try. Let me see again.
Yeah. Now, the other side of that argument is this. We kidded about beagles being able to inhale their meal because they don't chew their food. But the goal is certainly full dentition.
Right.
But can a dog do their job without full dentition? Probably, yeah.
Yeah, they can.
You know, probably, yeah. Depending on the function of the breed. So, I don't know. You always hear, oh, that judge is a tooth fairy. You know, if one tooth is out of line, that's going to knock the dog out. My problem with bites is they're almost like fronts. They're really hard to get rid of a bad one. And you can fix a head, a tail, feet. You can breed around those things. But I'm telling you, you get undershot bites or overshot even.
Oh, there's certain families of dogs that are recognized by their mouths.
Yeah. So you've got to check. For me, if it's a real close bite or a wry mouth and a breed doesn't allow for wry mouths, or something a little bit untowards, and it's the best dog in the ring by a mile, and the other dogs have scissor bites than when they're supposed to, I don't know. Do I not use that dog because of one or two crooked teeth?
Unless it's a DQ, I think better. You still use the dog. You know,
it's a fault, not a DQ.
It's one thing.
But boy, as a breeder, and that's where I come from it, I'm evaluating breeding stock. That bothers me a lot.
It's going to depend on how bad it is, obviously.
Yeah. But I know that missing teeth are a big deal because the same thing, but I've never come from all the breeds that I've bred have never had missing teeth problems. So am I subconsciously thinking, I don't know, check for side teeth because they can do their job without. I mean, there's certain breeds and certain colors, and I don't want to hang them for it by mentioning the color of that breed, but there's going to be missing teeth every time in that breed and that color. You want to throw it all. It is. And it doesn't matter what part of the world you're in either. Do you want to throw out the baby with the bathwater there? I don't know. It's a great question because when I first read the question, mine came from Guillermo, beautiful email or message. And I thought, what's the problem? And the more I thought about it, I can understand the issues.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Very interesting. And you won't believe this, but
while they send us those, I like when we get those kind of emails.
I do too. While we're talking about this, Cheryl's the dentist. So that's true. She's the dentist as we speak about these things. It's an amazing world, Will. It's an amazing world.
It certainly is.
I wouldn't want to paint it. That's right.
Done real well. I beat you this time.
And I stole that line from Stephen Wright. So if you don't know Stephen Wright, you're missing a great comedian.
He's great.
He certainly is. So we got some the year starting up. We got a bunch of shows going on all leading up to Westminster. Of course, the Porn International is coming up in April. Got some big shows in Florida now, and they'll be going on forever. Boy, if you want to go to a lot of dog shows every weekend, that seems to be the place.
Oh, for sure.
Florida is just full of clubs and shows.
Right now in Canada, in March, we have one show.
Yeah.
In Ontario, at least.
Yeah, I've got two, but it's not a very busy month for me. March isn't. June is. This is also the time of year, and we mentioned this last week about new dogs catching on. They've already caught on by now.
That's right.
And they're starting to all of a sudden establish themselves. But isn't it interesting how in most cases, even if they're ready from the get-go, and they're not always, you still have to earn your stripes to some fourths, thirds, and seconds before judges have the courage to give you first in the group. Some judges. You know, oh, he looked better this week. He was the same dog. Exactly. And he was in the same condition, but you didn't have the courage because he hadn't won before. That's the old bandwagon theory, I guess, of judging.
True. My old boss, Gary, would say we gave him three chances, you know, because once dogs reach notoriety, some of these judges change their minds.
Yeah, they do. Absolutely is true. Absolutely is true. Well, young William, I know you've got things to do, places to go, and people to see, including a dog to trim.
Yeah.
I'm glad you still enjoy that, by the way.
I love it. I love new dogs. So.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? I had a discussion with somebody last weekend about people that are really good groomers like you. I think you're one of the best in any breed, by the way. Not many can say that. Isn't that a Canadian thing? Because you have to show every breed.
Yeah, we have we don't have the numbers to specialize, say, in terriers or specialize in poodles. So we had to try to be, you know, acceptable in every breed, you know. So
I mean, you can do poodles and you can do wired hard-coated terriers and you can do poodles and Old English and sporting dogs. That's not done down here much.
No, what it used to be though, back in the day when you didn't have the numbers you have now, and you know, we all had to. If you wanted to make a living.
Yeah. We had certainly at Forsyth's, we had poodles and terriers and everything. Yeah.
You think about Fisher, you know, Fisher could do anything.
That's for sure. Yes. And I was thinking Bobby LaRoche too.
Oh, exactly.
He was a great trimmer too. But yeah, it's interesting how those things have changed. Now we have more specialists in many breeds. I remember the first Bichon of any profile that was shown here was Ted Young's Chaminade Syncopation, I think. And I remember when he got him, he brought him to the kennel to Gray Arlen, and Teddy lived not too far, and put him up on the table. We're all standing there in Forsyth's looking at it. Teddy's looking at it, and they're all thinking, what do we do with this? You know, this is a brand new breed.
Yeah.
However we cut them is going to determine how they should be trimmed.
Yeah.
And
your choice.
I remember another handler getting a Bouvier and calling me and saying, what do we do with this? We couldn't look on YouTube back then.
exactly.
You had to go find someone else that knew how to trim a Bouvier, and there aren't many of them around. But yeah, those are interesting. And of course, that trim that they put on that Bichon that day, I have pictures of it. It would be laughed out of the ring today because now they've made them into topiaries, and they used to be fairly much more natural. But yeah, that trim would be absolutely laughed at today. And it was the first Best in Show winner, and he sure took off with that dog. But that was back then, William. Another anachronism. Another one. Yet another one.
The word of the day.
That's right. We should do that. You know, we should do that. We'll have a word of the day. Because Doug always tells me, our friend Doug Belter always tells me, he has to read my articles with a dictionary. So we're going to try to instead of dumbing down, I don't mean dumbing down for Doug. I mean speaking with fewer words of fewer more syllables. We'll have a word of the day. Bring the audience up. Well, we're going to bring them up. That's what we're going to do.
Now our podcast has become educational as well. So
see that? Not just goofy, but educational as well. We are a podcast about something. It's amazing. About one word. All right, buddy. Go trim your dog. Have a great week. We'll talk soon. And we're going to miss you down to Maryland. It'd be a panel that you would fit right into hang out with. So wish
sounds
you could
like
be
a lot of fun. So have fun out there. And everybody else.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, everybody else, stay safe out there, and we'll see you down the road.
Party on, Greg.
No way.
Better be paying attention, Doc.
Thanks for the
So, Ernie, use this in the blooper reel.
That's right.
We love you, Ernie. What you
doing? Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
I'm gonna run. Don't quit.
Thanks, sir.
We didn't mention hockey either.
Yeah, they let us see it in a blueprint.